My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here with fellow Illini guy Brad Sturdy. I'm here with the Illini guy staff writer Matt Stevens, and I'm here with the director of recruiting Kedrick Prince. And this is a feisty group of individuals here tonight. We have just gotten done watching the Illini steal a defeat from the jaws of victory and lose to the Hoosiers 23-20. And I'm going to put it to the most optimistic member of this crew here tonight. Matt, what did you see in over there in Bloomington, Indiana? What are you going to say to an Illini fan who's starting to walk to the ledge as they look at this football season?
That you have eyes and that you have ears and you have a brain in your head, like, because this is what you've been watching last year and the year before that, the year before that, in some ways the year before that and 10 years before that. Like, there's a trend that's starting to happen that the head coach at the University of Illinois football program is starting to understand, or at least get a whiff of, and he doesn't like the way it smells. And what he's starting to get a whiff of is that there's still a significant portion of this roster that tries to lose football games instead of tries to win football games. And that's exactly what you saw in Bloomington here tonight, is that it was a football team that was probably more talented, probably to definitely better executed on both sides of the ball, quite honestly. And they just flat out constantly handed the game to the home team that had no business winning this football game, but yet they accepted those gifts. And finally, on the last series of the game, accepted the victory. I don't know if you're an Illinois fan, if you come out of this with a 20, what was it? What would it have been? A 23, what was it? What was the final score?
23-20.
Okay. So if they win this game and they don't drive down the field 75 yards and score on Illinois, and Illinois escapes with this win, I don't know how you feel good about that. I mean, I don't really know 100%.
Matt, I would feel good about that, because anytime there's a dub, I'm happy. We get the L, I'm not happy. I'm simple.
But Brad, Sturdy, I don't think Indiana's very good. I'll just say it.
I think Indiana sucks. Haven't they lost? Right. Didn't they lose every Big Ten game last year?
Well, they went 2-10.
2-10. I mean, they're not good. So that means Illinois is less than not good. So I don't know what that means.
What you've got to do, and the one thing I'll say is, and I'll let the other guys have at it, is you got to stop putting it on a defense that, for lack of a better term, carries your team for 55 minutes of a football game. And there were good things that Illinois did offensively. I think Chase Brown is an all Big Ten running back. I won't hear anything about how he's not. And I do think that they are being more innovative and creative in the pass game, and they have better talent in the pass game, quite frankly. But you have to stop putting it on a defense every single week to bail you out. And four turnovers, they were asking Illinois defense to bail them out every time, and they almost did, but short of a final drive, they couldn't do it. But you've got to stop doing that. And that's the first thing I think Brett Bielema's got to figure out, is how do I stop getting this defense to bail me out every time I need to win a football game.
So, Brad, any kind of thoughts on you know, what you saw? I know that Illini fans are the mounting frustration. You know, people hope to come out of this, you know, 2-0, kind of setting themselves for a 3-1 or a 4-0 start. Virginia's a tough one to crack next week, and now that 3-1 starts a lot tougher.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see some, you know, I see that. I agree with Matt. They got to score. The offense has to be better, especially in the red zone. You got to find a way to put points on the board. I guess my biggest concern, and offensively, one, you have to catch passes. I don't think Tommy DeVito is the problem either. People like to bag on the quarterback. I don't think he's the biggest issue. Yeah, he made some throws behind guys here or there, but when he hit a lot of guys in the hands and he's dropped them too. So that's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for him. It's hard. I thought he made some really good reads, especially on some corner blitzes and different hot reads, and he found the right guy tonight. So I that's something I don't think we saw last year from Brandon Peters as much. So I thought DeVito was better at that aspect of it. Now, here's my thing offensively. I thought they got too cute a couple times in the red zone, and then a couple other times they got too predictable. So it's like there's a fine line, but – You got to find a way to put it in the zone. But I have a question for Matt Stevens. You mentioned how we can't keep putting it on the defense. If you recall last year, we did that by design at times. We would be at the midfield line, fourth and one. Instead of saying, hey, we're going to go in and score the winning touchdown, we're going to punt it and make them go down the field. And invariably, at least twice that I remember, they did. We didn't go for it. We punted, and they did it. And Bielema said he'd do that 99 times out of 100. And that would be something like that. He gave some quote like that. So we're putting it on the defense. It's by design. I mean, I really think this is the plan, is to – this is my most talented side of the ball. I'm going to put it on them. Now, I don't think he meant that, you know, our offense is just going to suck in the red zones so that our defense has to work harder. But, I mean, that is kind of the design, and that's kind of his system. Am I right?
Yeah, I think last year you might have actually seen him on fourth and goal from the one, maybe try to kick the field goal. I'm dead serious. Like, instead of, he didn't do that. He tried for it and didn't get it. You are pointing out the fact, Brad Sturdy, that Brett Bielema has coached two games in the state of Indiana and basically lost them in the exact same way. And I don't know. Like, here's what I agree with you on, Sturdy. It's Tommy DeVito played well enough to win, period. Like, and I'm sorry, but he did. Like, and again, he's got to have deja vu because, again, here's a situation where at Syracuse, he spent 4 years not having any help whatsoever. And tonight, short of Chase Brown, he had really very little help whatsoever. And so I thought Tommy played well enough to win. I thought Chase played well enough to win. The offensive line did not, quite frankly. I thought they got some good play out of wide receivers. I think Pat Bryant can be a star here. I think Brian Hightower can be a good player here and showed flashes. I thought Isaiah Williams showed flashes of being a good player. But they all three of those guys did something that was, you know, mistake. It was just mind-blowingly, you know, stupid, for lack of a better term, at some point. And you just can't do that. And Isaiah talked to us after the game about, I can't drop passes. Can't do it. And that's a leader on your football team. So, you know, whether it's drop passes, whether it's the four turnovers, whether it's the eight penalties, whether it's not being able to get, you know, I think it's, what was it, second and goal from the five, and you bring Chase Brown back in the football game and you can't get it, you can't punch it in. These are all things that teams that win football games do, and Illinois just didn't. And again, what I'm talking about is you can't put it on the defense. Brett Bielema said it best. It should not have come down to that last defensive stand. It really shouldn't have, but it did. And so, I mean, there's blame to go all around. If you want to add to the mental mistakes, letting the ball go over the back of your head as a free safe, as the one high free safety, Kendall Smith, that's a mental mistake that Ryan Walters cannot stand. Now, when I talk about that on the defensive side, you see improvement because Kendall Smith played a hell of a second half and basically gave you the lead with that interception, and that Illinois allowed the second half to go down and score and make it 17-16. So you saw improvement. You saw players recognize things and try to play beyond, play through their mistakes, which you'd like to see out of a veteran guy like Kendall Smith. I thought that happened on defense. It did not happen on offense. And so there are a lot of things that got to get cleaned up on this offense. I won't sit here and tell you that Brett Bielema in game two bust tossed Barry Lunney, but he came real close, because I can tell you right now, he did not like the play calling down near the goal line. He did not like the fact that I tell you right now, he did not like, you know, that throw into the flat that resulted in the fumble by Chase. He hated that play call. I can tell you that right now. But there were a lot of things I thought Barry did that were, you know, at least encouraging from a play call standpoint. But it just didn't lead to points. And it didn't lead to points because you had players just do some stuff that they just can't do. Four turnovers. I don't care if Indiana didn't score on any of them. You didn't score on any of those possessions either, and you could have. And I think that's how this game was won and lost.
Ked, you've been quiet, sitting here and kind of listening. What do you think? What were your thoughts on the game? Because it was obviously a challenge.
I feel bad for the fans. They deserve better tonight. And I'm a little different. I mean, I'm not upset with the defensive play calling. I'm not even upset with the offensive play calling, even though I did tweet it was a two-man team, Chase Brown and Isaiah Williams. It was so predictable. I think on 10 consecutive plays, they were the only people who touched the ball other than Tommy DeVito handing it off or trying to throw it to him. The players got to make plays, and they can't do stupid things. Brett Bielema said after the game, basically in a nutshell, he was, you know, in a subliminal message, Illinois lost for so long, they don't know how to win. You can't do stupid things like that. You cannot have your top receivers, if that's what you want to call them, drop balls like that when there's nobody within 10 yards of you. You can't have stupid penalties that's going to set you back. I mean, the game was lost to me in the first half. It wasn't lost the second half. They left so many points on the board, and typical Illinois stuff, just the touchdown. I'm going to tell you, people can say it doesn't matter. I disagree. It does. That changed the momentum. I mean, those are points. They lost by three. You get the touchdown. You know, maybe you win by one. I mean, but again, don't put yourself in a situation, but it did play a big part in it. It was very, very frustrating to me to watch, because to me, I thought personally, this was one of the bigger games of the season, because Virginia's not going to be a cakewalk, and there's not very many Big Ten wins that you could get. And I agree with Brad and Matt too. Indiana's not very good to me. You're going to tell me, and here's my thing I thought about most of the game. They got no pressure at all to the quarterback at all. I mean, and Matt talked about this during the offseason a million times about their line play. They threw for 330 yards and ran and rushed for 32 yards. And I don't know if he got sacked once. I mean, if he did, I forgot. But I'm going to tell you, that was awful. He had all time in the world to throw the ball. That has to change. I mean, it really and truly does. And then my last comment is, if you're going to run Chase 35,000 times, your line better protect him and make sure they open up holes. Yes, he had 199 yards, but if you're going to run him that, I think on 35 carries, if you're going to run him that many times, you better do a better job, because that play at the goal line I thought was a game changer. They sniffed that out, and they knew Isaiah was getting the ball. That part I didn't like. But as a, you know, it's hard, and I know people are frustrated. You know, I'm not going to turn my back on them and, you know, say it's a basketball season yet. I've seen enough of those tweets tonight. But the bottom line is, I do think this is the right staff, but I don't think these kids know how to win. Those penalties are just stupid, stupid, stupid stuff.
Yeah, that was probably my frustration when I was watching the game. Was I was trying to figure out what makes me more angry as a football fan. When there's a long gain and I have to watch the penalty bring it back all the way, or if there's a play that we, you know, that my team that I'm rooting for loses 2 yards, and then I watch a penalty move it back another 15, and I'm like, what makes me angrier, you know? Because we had a couple of plays with you know, very little going on other than a bad play and a penalty on the same play. The other thing is you know, when you look at you know, passes, you know, if you catch that touchdown pass right after the touchdown that was called back, this is a totally different game, but you can literally watch the eyes avert on the receiver. And it was just very frustrating to see that kind, that level of concentration in a game where you're, I'm not certain if you're looking for a defender, what you're looking for, but holy cow, that was a tough one. You know, so Matt, the question I want to ask you, and I know it's, this is a tough one, but you know, obviously Brett Bielema has a way he likes to play. People talk about Bielema ball. Barry Lunney's been a offensive coordinator at UTSA and been extremely successful. What makes an offensive coordinator change the way they call a game in the fourth quarter when you're protecting a whopping 1-point lead? It seemed like the team, you know, it stopped attacking and kind of was on the back foot more often. Was that just a perception of a fan like myself who was concerned about losing, or is that what was really happening on the field?
I got the sense, Mike, that they wanted to run out the entire 5 minutes if possible. I really did.
Yeah.
I felt like they wanted to win the game 17-16 and elong it like three times. And Brett's done that in the past, is that he's won the game basically running out the clock because you can't stop me from getting first downs. I felt like that was the plan. I don't think that they were ever playing toward a 47-yard field goal by Caleb Griffin. I don't think that was the idea. And God bless his heart, he made it. You know, he put him up 20-16. But I don't think the idea was for them to play to the field goal. I think the idea was for them to get inside the 10-yard line. And, you know, Brett has said before that, you know, being able to kneel on it that close to the goal line is borderline erotic. I think that was the plan. Like, let's just, you know, let's end this game with our offense, not have the defense go back on the field. That was the idea. It didn't work out, but it was the idea. And I got concerned, Mike, when I started to see middle of the third quarter, and I'm looking and I'm like, Jesus, how many carries does Chase have? And he had like 26. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, his career high is 33. He's gonna pass that total pretty quickly tonight. I don't have a problem with giving Chase the ball 36 times. I have a problem with giving the ball 36 times over, you know, 12 straight games, which they don't plan on doing. I asked the head coach that specifically. I was like, 36 carries, were you trying to basically, you know, I mean, this car had no gas in it left, and they were trying to get it to the finish line. And I thought they did an admirable job getting Chase to the finish line at this sucker. I didn't have a problem with some of the stuff they did. Like, I thought the pop pass to Isaiah, he broke a couple of those. I don't know why he wouldn't have broken another one. I mean, Barry does a lot of creative stuff, and quite frankly, the Cats comment of the two-man show, to me, it's like, okay, like, these are the two guys that, these are your two stars offensively. I would give them the ball as many times as I could. And quite frankly, they tried. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, and I will, but I think Isaiah dropped three passes. Like, I mean, and so he'd be the first one, and he was the first one to say he can't do that. He flat out cannot do that.
And if he's going to be your go-to guy and that's what they promote, that's fine. I don't know. Maybe Casey Washington had the flu in September. I don't know, but I would have given him a different look. I know Luke Ford dropped the pass. You got to give different options. You guys all saw the game. Indiana knew who was getting the ball. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what kind of schemes they were drawing up, whether it was a little screen pass they knew and they were handing it off. You knew what was coming. It was too predictable. I don't know if that's – I know Matt, you said Coach Bielema was mad at some of the play calling down the stretch. The game shouldn't have been – it shouldn't have got to that point. And for as good as Isaiah is, I think as an athlete, he's been a receiver long enough now. To me personally, he should make routine plays. The good teams make those plays. And I guess, you know, I was really frustrated. But hearing Coach Bielema make this comment that I said earlier – I just don't think they know how to win. I don't, it's a culture, you guys. I mean, it's like, and that's hard. I mean, you know, Coach Underwood has mastered it with basketball. And I'm going to tell you, Shauna Green's going to have the same thing for her because they just, they're used to losing. And so, you know, the penalties and things like that, I guarantee it that that will, I know that'll be addressed because he was not happy about that. Didn't throw anybody under a bus, but you can't have those things. Good teams find a way to shut their mouths and to play football and win games. So this is one that they left on the table. And I said it before, like Brad, Indiana's not very good to me. I don't care. Even though they won, and I'm not going to be disrespectful, that is not a good football team.
So, Brad, we're going to start kind of taking this one home. But Brad, you were obviously one of the people who was, you know, extremely close to the basketball staff as Coach Underwood took a train wreck and really took 2 years to kind of turn that thing around. And then, of course, the last 3 years, he's got a juggernaut. So what kind of advice do you think Coach Underwood would give to Coach Bielma on how to trigger that transformation with this football team?
So, Mike, every coach, you know what they say?
Recruit
get better
Iowa.
Players. Yeah, get better players. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. They got to get better players, I think. Yep. Yeah, it's going to do. But I also think, like, and I'm not trying to be – I hate to second guess coaches because they see guys. But I'm watching this. They've thrown two balls to Hank Beatty, and both of them have been tight window, tough catches. That kid made both catches.
Yep.
Throwing the ball. I mean, if other guys are dropping the ball, I mean, if he can make those catches, I think he could probably catch the ball in space. And I know he can move in space. So I just don't get why. I mean, I get you got your guys. Eventually, you got to do something different. You can keep throwing the same guys out there and having them struggle. We got to put somebody else out there who's going to make that catch. Because if nothing else, maybe it promotes and makes your other guy realize, hey, I got to work to keep my job. A little harder to keep my job, but that's the one thing I would do. You've got to be willing to play those guys, and I'm not sure we're quite there yet, you know, and maybe it's because we're trying to win now, we're afraid to play the young guy. I don't know, but I'm telling you, play them.
Well, Tommy DeVito's not going to be able.
You might lose.
Yeah,
we lost.
And Tommy's not going to be sane if he has 6 to 9 balls dropped every game. we're going to have to get some sort of counseling for him. Ked, any final thoughts from your standpoint, and then we'll wrap around to Matt.
Yeah, I want to comment. I know you asked Brad about the basketball situation. I know when Coach Underwood first got there, and it was different for me too. He just got rid of guys. He didn't run them all, but they weren't going to play. And you know, we're all colleagues and we're all friends because we work for the same company. Matt said it right. You got to recruit, man. And I know they are, but you have to. And you're not going to win games. And I'll tell you what, if Virginia, if they do what they did tonight, that's a recipe for Virginia to say, hey, get 2 or 3 guys, key on them, and we're going to make them make somebody else beat us. And they're going to have to do that. That's in a nutshell. I'm not panicking on the season. I'm a huge Brett Bielema guy. I have been, you know, from the day he was hired, just because I know how good of a coach he is. You know, my daughter made a comment to me. She's like, I know you're mad, Dad, but I'm going to tell you right now, 3 years ago, you'd have lost by 30 points. And she's probably right. That didn't happen. So from a positive standpoint, they're not getting blown out. You know, Walters is doing his job, but you can't do it every game. That's right. You can't do it every single game. You got to have some help at some point.
Yep. And Matt, why don't you close it up from your standpoint? And then the one question I am going to ask you is, and you can incorporate this in your close, what the heck does this team do to get more out of a tight end position that should be a benefit, that should be a strength?
Okay. It's kind of the opposite answer I'm going to give you, okay. Which is – let me just start out by the summary, okay? I have been the biggest advocate of the talent on this roster does not reflect somebody that can – a team that can win the Big Ten West. I stand by that, right? But on Friday, September 2nd, this team had enough, this roster had enough talent to win this game in Bloomington. And they probably had enough talent to win this game in Bloomington by double digits.
Yep.
They had enough talent either. So don't give me this bull crap about how Illinois is not talented enough to win with this roster. They were talented enough to win on Friday night, September 2nd, 2022. And Brett Bielema knows it. They had enough talent to win that football game. Brad's point is well taken, that I think Hank Beattie has done everything to impress these coaches. The problem with Hank Beattie, and Brad and Sturdy knows this, is Hank Beattie plays Isaiah Williams' position. And if you go into a season, you're going to think, well, I'm playing Isaiah Williams. And quite frankly, every single one of our subscribers who follows football at the University of Illinois would have wondered what the hell Isaiah Williams is doing standing next to Barry Lunny at any kind of critical situation if that had happened. But if Hank Beattie continues to make plays, he will continue to get more playing time. I promise you that. This team, this coaching staff is not bashful about that kind of stuff. But you need to get better. The tight end position, okay, now I'm going to reverse everything I just said. You got to recruit it better, quite frankly, period. End of discussion. You have to recruit it better. Because your best player is a guy that nobody wanted in FBS other than, you know, Illinois and Tip Ryman, and he's done a hell of a job, but like there are limitations there. Okay. And I don't really want to hear anything more about Luke Ford. It's done. Like it is the biggest misconception I've ever seen between results and talent with that young man. I mean, I can't imagine there being a bigger chasm than that. So, you know, again, one of the four turnovers is on him. He's a guy that came back this year wanting to be, you know, trying to convince people that he's ready for the NFL. There were a bunch of NFL people here tonight. They saw him make a dumb mistake again. And so I'm not laying it all on Luke because I know that he works his tail off, but like this stuff keeps happening with Luke. And then your third tight end is Marco Marques. And again, I go back to there are physical limitations there. Like, again, a converted linebacker, walk-on linebacker that gets your third tight end. I mean, there's a future there with Henry Boyer, I think, but everybody wants him to play offensive tackle. So, I mean, I don't know what the hell you do, like, other than recruit better players. So the tight end position is one that Brett Bielema values very, very much. And I think what he's done with Tip Ryman proves that. But the first thing you need is, I mean, and I'm not putting this on anybody, but you need Ben Miller to come back to actually coach these guys, because right now they're being coached by a modified GA, essentially. And you need probably Barry Lunny to take over that position, because that's his bread and butter. His entire coaching career in college is coaching tight ends. So I leave the stadium thinking, again, and I put it in my column, Brett Bielema has coached 14 games at the University of Illinois. The 15th is the most important game of his career because it is the landmark, you know, on the road to, is this going in the right direction? Saturday against Virginia is the point in which we all figure out, is this going in the right direction or is it not? Because the last two guys that have had this job permanently have had a game like this. Tim Beckman played Washington at Soldier Field. And we all knew at that point we had a long way to go before this thing was getting turned around. And then Lovey went to Tampa to play USF, got boat raced, you know, by a ranked team. And everybody went, oh, we got a long way to go here. If Illinois gets boat raced on Saturday in Champaign and goes to 1-2, first of all, I don't see any fundamental way that you can get me to 6 wins at that point. And two, you've now started the idea that, okay, we got a long way to go here before we get this thing turned around. Once again, this is the first landmark. I think this is the first landmark game of the Brett Bielema year at Illinois. And I'm not, he's not on any kind of hot seat if he loses it. None of that crap. Don't get me started on that. But, you know, if he wins it and if he, you know, and at least get to 2-2, you know, through September, then you have a chance to go, okay, we're making progress. We're beating Power 5 teams that we should beat. That should have happened tonight in Bloomington, and it didn't. And it better happen on Saturday. Otherwise, people are going to start to realize this thing's not on the right track right now, and it's not going in the right direction.
All right, Brad. So bring us home. the man who's been covering Illini athletics for 20 years, what wisdom what aid do you have to give to Illini fans?
Well, the sun will come up, and we know that, so it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Big Ten officials still suck.
Yep.
Even when they get a replay and a second chance to look at it, they still suck. So, it is what it is. It just seems like it's Groundhog Day for Illinois fans. At some point, stay the course, it will change. And I think Brett Bielema might be the guy to get it done. This team, they're not that far from being okay. But, yeah, I mean, I do feel like Bill Murray. And so in Groundhog Day, and it just keeps,
Ned Ryerson?
Phil Connors. Okay. So, Ned Ryerson. So, yeah, no, I do feel like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, but because this is the same game. We see it all. We've seen it for 30 years, and now it's, but I think this, they're going to change. It's just going to be, got to keep our patience, give it a couple more games. And like Matt said, key game next week. Give them a chance to see what they can do.
Yeah. Hey, can I quickly add something to what Sturdy said about the officiating?
Yeah.
Whether it's the Big Ten, whether it's the SEC, whether it's the Big 12, or whether it's the Sun Belt, whether it's the National Football League, if I could do something tomorrow, if I could have a magic wand and do something tomorrow, and I know Sturdy will agree with me on this, please get somebody, I don't care who it is, from the late John Madden to the Brett Favre to Oprah Winfrey to Condoleezza Rice, I don't care who it is, somebody tell me what a catch is. Somebody just in the game of football, I don't care what level you're playing, high school, college, pro, tell me what a catch is. Let's define what a catch is. Because in every other sport, we have a rule that says this is what this is. Like, we kind of know what traveling is, all right? We get it.
Kind of.
We understand it. Like, we understand what traveling is. We know what a balk is in baseball. We get it. We understand it. Tell me what a catch is. I was talking about this with Martin O'Donnell at halftime. Like, somebody's got to define in the sport what a catch is. I'm not saying they even got the Brian Hightower thing wrong. Brian Hightower sure as hell thinks they got it wrong.
They did.
But I'm not sure. I'm not 100% because of the angle that I have, and I'm not able to see a monitor or whatever, that they got it wrong. Even if they might have gotten it wrong, tell me what a catch is. Tell me, go like, hey, that's not a, like, honest to God, like, tell me why that's not ruled on the field catch. Because I tweeted it out. If that's ruled a catch on the field, I don't think they overturn it. But the fact that it was ruled an incomplete pass on the field, they didn't overturn it. So tell me what a catch is. Tell me what a catch is. Like, I don't know.
Well, look, I'll kind of bring it home here. You know, the refereeing, the one field goal looked like it may not have been a field goal. You had a touchdown catch that was clear. Even Tim Brando, who would literally cry every time that there was a penalty on Indiana. Even he was like, that's a catch. That's simple call. And yet Illinois had so many chances that they should have been able to overcome that.
I'm not saying that's why they lost.
No. I totally get you. And what really gets me about this is Illinois right now, as it's constituted, is not good enough to overcome that one call. And they should be. What I would ask, and every once in a while, you got to think about these things from like all of us have our own jobs. And I ask people, I ask sales reps, what are you going to do or say differently to get a better result? And I look at this and I say, putting the defense in a position where you're going to play a prevent defense and they're going to supposed to be able to stop somebody hasn't worked well in the last, I'm not even worried about past times, but in the last couple of years, it hasn't worked as well as whatever statistics are out there. And so I would like to see something different. But to me, the root cause analysis is if you don't have so many empty possessions in the second and the third and the fourth quarter, then it doesn't matter as much. And so the only thing that I found to be the benefit or the positive of this game is I felt like we actually could move the ball for more of the game than we have in the past. So that tells me the offense is getting a little bit better, but they have to be able to score. And until they are able to score, this game is designed for people to put points on the board. And I'm not saying that this team, you know, needs to go all UTSA, but we have to be less predictable than they're going to run on first down. We're going to run on second down. We're going to throw on third down. You know, we need to find a way as a team to break that cycle a little bit. And I kept thinking to myself, we have Chase Brown. Can we do a play action pass? Can we do something? Because he is truly one of the weapons in college football this year. Let's use him in that fashion. Now, I'm not a football coach, but to me, between let's use Chase Brown occasionally as a decoy to, and then let's put in a player like Hank Beatty. Those are the two things that I'd like to see a little different. Does that win the game? Probably not, but it's a start.
I don't like to answer your question, Mike. And I'm not trying to throw excuses out there, but I'm not sure how these offensive coaches and Brett Bielema specifically felt about how long they could block it up without Julian Pearl.
I that was clear. They had problems up the middle the whole game, so it was clear that he was important. There is no doubt about that.
And so I mean, and I actually thought from the left side where they threw Isaiah Adams at that left tackle and they threw Jordan Slaughter at left guard, they ran it down Indiana's throat on the left side, especially early on in the game. And it wasn't Chase just bouncing off people. They had holes. I mean, it was the biggest takeaway I saw from this game to me was you saw a defensive adjustment made in the second half. I contend that Ked is not correct. I thought they got a lot of pressure at the second half on Connor Belziak, and I will contend to you that the Indiana quarterback is probably in an ice bath quicker than the Illinois quarterback needs to be. Felt a hell of a lot worse than the Illinois quarterback felt at the end of this game. I felt like Johnny Newton sat on his head about five or six times at the end of plays. I felt like Keith Randolph got in the backfield a heck of a lot. I'm interested to see what the PFF numbers are on pressures because that young man threw off his back foot a number of times because his offensive line stinks too. And they couldn't block Johnny Newton to save their life in the second half. And I thought Ryan Walters dialed up some stuff to get him, not maybe on the ground, but getting him to throw it as quicker than he wanted it to. So I thought that was an adjustment. Look, again, Brett Bielema, 1 year into his coaching tenure at Illinois, fired his offensive coordinator. And two games into Barry Lunney, he basically told us, like, you know, we have to be brutally honest with our assistant coaches about what we're doing and what we're telling our kids to do and are we putting them in the best situation. So I don't think he fully bust-tossed Barry Lunney, but like I said before, I don't think he liked what he saw. I don't think he liked what he saw, especially in the second half. So that's got to change going into Virginia. It's got to change going into the rest of the year. Otherwise, I think, Chase Brown's probably not going to make it throughout the rest of the year. And, Tommy DeVito's probably not going to have a winning season in his college career. So, again, the last thing also I'll put out there is that I have been a huge advocate of this team needs better talent and they need to recruit better. And I've said that about the 23 class and I maintain that. This team had enough talent on this roster to beat Indiana. I promise you they did. And they didn't do it, period.
Well, with that, folks, we're going to kind of move on and let you know that obviously next week, Virginia, huge game, critically important. We will be there every step of the way to cover it. IlliniGuys.com. That's where you stay as close as can be. And of course, $99 a year is what it costs to join. And you will get in on the message boards where people like Brad Sturdy talk about, well, when will we get a certain Frenchman to join the team. Those are the type of things that behind the scenes you hear. You might want to go ahead and get a membership. Also, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is out there on Fridays and Saturdays for 2 hours. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit radio, and you can find the city and the station, the day and the time that you can tune in. Please do so. And, of course, we do have our own line of podcasts here, including the flagship, that's Sturdy for 30, the award-winning podcast that Brad does. We also have Keds Recruiting Roundup, which gets you an idea of what the kids who are being recruited, their parents, and their coaches think of the recruiting process. It's a different way to look at it. So with that, I am going to say that we are signing off after the Illini's disappointing but close loss to the Hoosiers 23-20. We will be back in the week to talk about the upcoming game with Virginia. And we will have a few surprises as well with some podcasts coming up. So stay tuned. Thank you very much and go Illini.